Desire your prayers for a little bit this morning. Thank God for His Word. We have an opportunity to look into the Word together. I tell you, sometimes the Lord pours it on so much you've got to seek the Lord for what He wants. Gives you so many things sometimes to deal with. I could probably preach you four messages this morning at least. I only want to try to get one in by the help of the Lord. I have a question. I'll ask you a question. How qualified do you think you are to represent Jesus? Does any of us think that we're overqualified to represent the Lord? Probably not. We want to stay humble within our own place that the Lord has put us. But I want to talk about someone this morning, use them for an example. We talk about following others, those that are examples. This fellow was quite an example. I want us to consider him for just a little bit. Several scriptures to read. Let's turn over to Exodus, the book of Exodus in the 17th chapter. And I pray the Lord will bless this today and give a little caveat here. I'm looking to the Lord for whatever He would have us to say, but may say some things this morning that may be a little difficult for some folks. But nevertheless, if the Lord would have me to say it, I believe it's true. And sometimes we need things to shake us up sometimes. I'm really not talking just about the ones that are here either. But sometimes the messages go out to other people. So let's look at a beginning text here in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. And we'll begin at the 8th verse. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I don't know who you think I want to talk about this morning here, but I want to talk about Joshua. Good old Joshua. He was a man that was quite successful in his walk with the Lord. There's another scripture that talks about Joshua and Caleb wholly following the Lord. They put their heart in it. And they wholly followed the Lord. Everything that they did in life was important that they did it to please God. That they did it to honor Him. Joshua here is, the Lord had spoke to Moses, And Moses told Joshua to go out. So we find here in this particular chapter that Joshua was Moses' personal aide. And right here, he was the field commander. He was the field commander. He was the one that was commanding the children of Israel in the face of battle against Amalek. And we see here that God used Aaron and Hur to stay up the hands of Moses. While his hands were up, Israel was prevail. If his hands went down, Amalek would prevail. Don't know why altogether that happened, but it's the way it was. And God used his helpers to be able to help the children of Israel discomfort the children of Amalek. So we're thankful this morning that, and we want to learn something right here and now, that God will always provide a way in our battles and in our trial. He will always provide a way. We need to have faith in God, and we need to have our hearts open and our minds in tune with what His will and is what His purpose is for each and every one of us. Moses, or Joshua, served well when he was under Moses, and he was full, the Bible says, and I want to look at that scripture too as we establish this about Joshua, the 27th chapter of the book of Numbers. It's in here. It says in the Lord, verse 18, and the Lord sent unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand on him. Now this, we all know that when Moses died, that Joshua took over as the leader, didn't he? And we know that Joshua led God's children over into the Canaan land, God had work for Joshua to do there, but there was a preparation time for Joshua, just as there is for you and I. God wants to use every one of us, but He will qualify us before He sends us out to do something for Him. He wants us to have a courage. He wants us to have a faith. He wants us to have some understanding of how God works, how He operates, what He expects, what He requires. And He wants us to be filled just like Joshua. He had the Spirit. It said here that he, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. So now we see here that God, all the way back in Moses and Joshua's time, was preparing Joshua for the work of the Lord, as He does you and I today. And all the way back in that time, God had Moses lay His hand on Joshua to pray for him. And He said, lay your hand upon him and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. You know, the Lord God in heaven this morning, He saved you. He's called you. We're a child of the King. We're in the kingdom of God, but He wants to use you in His work. He wants to use you to try to help win other souls that are so important, wandering out there in the world and out in sin. He wants to use you. And when He calls you, He qualifies you. And He prepares you just for what He wants you to do. Sometimes we look around and say, oh, I sure would like to be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. It's what the Lord wants you to do that's important. Because if we'll all stay in our place, this will all work together. Paul said we're workers together with God. And if we'll all stay humble and stay where God has put us to do what God wants you and I to do, folks, it's going to work to His will and to His purpose. And God will be able to have His way. So he was set before Eleazar the priest, before all the congregation, and gave him a charge in their sight. Now notice that all the people saw what was going on here. Because God wanted to use Joshua, and he wanted to set him up before the eyes of the people, that they would have confidence in him, that they'd be willing to follow him. When God told Joshua something to do, that the people would be willing to follow him because they had confidence in him, and saw that God had put his hand on him. See, those things are really important, aren't they? And God saw that that was done. Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all of the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Children of Israel had a hard time being obedient, didn't they? They struggled with obedience. Obedience was, disobedience was the second sin that I believe was committed in the garden. The first one was pride that caused them to be disobedient. But he said, God knew his people. God knows his people today. So he said here, set him before the congregation and give honor upon him that the children of Israel may be obedient. It was important that they saw something in this man, Joshua, that they were willing to follow him and be obedient to what he said. And it said, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim, before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. That's the way it was done when Moses was leading them. And Moses was about to go off the scene now, and God was preparing another man to step in his place. And he wanted them to be obedient to him, and he wanted them to understand God had his hand on him, God had his approval on him, that when he said to go, they would go. When he said come, they would come. Because what good is a leader if no one listens to what the leader has to say? Moses did, verse 22, as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and he set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. He gave him a charge. Now, here's a man that we learned from his beginnings that served Moses well. He did what Moses told him to do. He was put in charge of the battle, and he went out and he fought, and he was full of the Spirit, the Bible says. And importantly here, he was God's choice. He was God's choice to lead the people to succeed Moses and to conquer the land of Canaan, and to see that it was properly proportioned or given to each one of the tribes of the children of Israel. Joshua had a big charge here. He had a big job. And it was of utmost importance that when he told the people something, that they would believe him and be obedient and that they would do it. Without that, folks, God has no control. God's not able to do anything with a people that's not willing to follow a leader or a someone that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not here this morning to lift up man in no way, shape, or form. But I want to say this is the way that God worked with Joshua. This is the way that God will work among us today, too. If God gives someone a gift and no one has confidence in that individual, that gift won't be any good, will it? That gift will never be able to be used in the work of the Lord if no one has confidence in the gift. But you and I must live. Now, I'm not talking to just preachers here. I'm talking about all of us. We must live in a way that we can demand, if I can say it that way, confidence from others because of the way we're living and the way that we're walking before God, that others will have confidence in us. It's important that a congregation all have confidence in one another. You know, one of the things, and I'm going to bring this out here, that really burdens me today. There's a lot of things that I'm burdened about, and you are too. One of the burdens that I have is that the church will have power. We need more power with God. And folks, it's going to take you and I being filled with the Spirit, working together, confidence in one another, and being willing to step forward and let God do what he wants to do with others and let him do what he wants to do with you and stay in my place. Because you cannot have power in the church or anywhere else unless there's unity and unless there's oneness. the devil. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, says the devil has what have accomplished to scatter what? The power of the holy people. The devil hates the church to have power. He doesn't want us to have power. He doesn't want us to be in agreement. He doesn't want us to be in one. But folks, when people come up to be prayed for at altars, we need some power. We need to have a fellowship and a oneness with one another, a confidence in the other, that when we're praying, this isn't just for the ministers that are laying hands on, but it when we come in to a service and someone is to be anointed and prayed for, the whole congregation needs to enter into that. They need to put their hearts into that. They need to put their prayers into that. That we can all do this together. Don't ever just lay this on the ministry, folks. We're in this together. We're all workers together with God. But God saw a need. See, God does things right. He always does. But he saw a need that he needed to establish before the whole congregation, the scripture says, he needed to establish Joshua now as a leader, because they've been used to following Moses for a long time. When Moses said something, the people would maybe murmur and complain a little bit, but they do it. Now there's a new commander coming on the scene, and God was establishing that. And he had some work for him to do, and he had some land for the children of Israel to conquer, didn't he? I think one of the successes of Joshua is that he always kept God and his word as primary importance. God and his word was a primary, not secondary, primary importance to Joshua. Now let's go over and read some Joshua here. This first chapter has more in it than we'll be able to get out of it this morning. But I want you to see how God spoke to Joshua. Moses is gone. God had buried him up there. Moses was gone. And it says, now after the death, Joshua 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, now remember, the Lord had already established him before the congregation. He'd already had him taken, the priests laid hands on him. He'd already been prayed for, man filled with the Spirit. So that had already been established. And he said to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over. Now it's your turn. You're not going to have Moses to fall back on. You're not going to have Moses to lean on. You got God to lean on. You got me to lean on, God says. But you don't have Moses now. But I've got, now it's time for you to move. I got some work for you to do. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. The Lord said he give it to them. So it's not a matter of whether they can take it or not. The Lord give it to them. And I think that's very important. Yeah. Folks, you and I, the Lord has given us the privilege to be able to conquer whatever it is that we're struggling with in our lives. It may not happen today and it may not happen next week, but if we continue to seek God, God has given you and I the right, the privilege, through Jesus Christ, his son, you know, in our day and time, to be able to conquer whatever it is that we struggle with. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I can remember so plainly as if Brother Donald Sharp had said it Wednesday night. He said this to us years ago. He said, folks, that is your humanity. Every place that you deal with in your human life, in your humanity, in your weaknesses, in those places that God reveals to you that you need to conquer and overcome. He said right here, every place that you put your foot down on it, every place that you rebuke the enemy, every place that you call the devil out and expose him of what he's trying to do to control you. Devil uses those things to control us, folks. To keep us from being strong. To keep us from conquering self. Excuses aren't going to get it, are they? We cannot use excuses. And we've got to conquer. But the Lord told Joshua now, every place, that probably gave him a lot of courage, don't you think? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you as I said unto Moses. Folks, that should generate courage right there. It should generate faith right there. Not only for Joshua this morning, but for you and I. You see the example that he is to us this morning. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. I said several times in past years, why don't we just see how close that we really can get to the Lord? There's no limit. He said, all of this shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Folks, I can just see the courage building up in Joshua. And the Lord's telling him, I'm going to, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And there's not any enemy going to be able to stand up before you. As I said in the prayer a while ago, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we cannot, we must not forget that. We must realize that whatever it is that we're battling, folks, I've been going through some hot ones lately, and I know what I'm saying is easier to say than do. But folks, whatever it is that we're going through, Lord, help us to take courage and stand true and be faithful and just rebuke the enemy in everything that he's trying to do. We can come to service sometimes. And we can testify because we're up and God has done all this and done all that. And the next thing you know, we're going through another battle and the enemy gets us down and discouraged. Lord, help us today, folks. Every place you put your foot down, God said, I'll give it to you. God wants to give us some things. I believe that. God loves us. God loves his people and he wants to give us the very best that he can give us. But we're going to have to put our foot down. We're going to have to rebuke the devil, aren't we? No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What do you think? If you, Lord woke you up in the middle of the night, you were going through a hard battle. And the Lord said these things to you. I'll never leave you. I will not fail you. You put your foot down. You be willing to take the next step. It may be what we call a leap of faith. Take that leap. It may be the very exercise that you need to take a leap of faith. Well, how would you feel if the Lord woke you up the middle of the night? I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Boy, would that ever lift you up? Wouldn't that encourage you? Wouldn't that give you grace? Wouldn't that give you boldness? Wouldn't that say, devil, here I come, ready or not. I'm going to fight you and I'm going to defeat you in the name of Jesus. Thank God for that this morning. And then he went on, Sister Diane's already said it, and when she testified, be strong and of a good courage. There is something that I have to do, folks. There's something you and I have to do. If we're going to be examples of Christ And we're going to be qualified to represent him in this dark world that we live in. We got to be strong. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't let every little thing that comes down the pipe, the devil get us down and all discouraged. We got to be strong and of a good courage. Well, we ought to be able to have courage when the Lord comes along and says, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Folks, we know when the Lord swore that that land was going to be theirs, there wasn't nothing going to stop it. There wasn't nothing going to stop it. Now what has he promised you? What kind of promises has the Lord given you today? When you're facing your enemies, when you're facing your trial, what kind of promises has the Lord given you? I swear unto their fathers to give it to them. God's done even something greater than that for you and I, folks. He sent his son to give his life a sacrifice and shed his blood. And folks, through his son, he had promised to give you and I everything that we need. It is available for us today. He had the Spirit. You and I have what we know as the Holy Spirit today. To strengthen us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to give us boldness, to give us power to be able to stand in these evil days. Paul talks about it a lot, doesn't it? Only be thou strong and very courageous, verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded me. Folks, as God was given directions to Joshua, after he encouraged him, after he gave him his promises, after he assured him, I'm going to be with you through all of this, he brought him right back to the Word of God. And that's where we always need to come back to. When we go through those hard places and those difficult places, you come right back to the Word of God. How did Jesus defeat the enemy when he was taken out and tempted? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. And he brought him right back. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Folks, you and I today, as many people are tempted to partake of the things of the world, and many people are tempted to drift away from the presence and the Spirit of God, you and I cannot afford today to let the enemy sway us and draw us away. He said, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you might prosper. Oh, God wants his people to prosper. He wants us to flourish. What is that tree that's by the rivers of water that's flourishing every? He wants you and I to flourish. He wants us to be strong in his grace, as Paul said. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. You're questioning something. You're going through a hard place, something you don't understand. You know where to turn? Turn to the Word of God. Turn to God, folks. It's in there. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I'm going to stand with you and I've made you promises, but Joshua, you have something here that you've got to do, and you've got to stand by the book of the law. You've got to stand by the Word of God. You and I must stand by the Word of God today. That is the only way that we'll be able to defeat the foe that we fight every day. Stand. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Here's a man that had already been testified. He'd been holy following the Lord. He had a good spirit within him. Him and Caleb did, the Bible says. And he said, you meditate day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Oh, why is it so important for us today to study, to show ourselves approved? We need to know what's in there. We may not remember every chapter and every verse, but we need to read the Word of God. We need to meditate upon the Word of God. We need to pray over the Word of God. And the Word of God needs to become very precious to us. Very precious to us. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. When you do that, your way is going to prosper. I'm going to bless you. Saints, the Lord's going to bless you when you do what you're supposed to do. You do your little part. God's going to defeat the enemy for you. God's going to rebuke the devil for you. I don't rebuke the devil. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. God's going to rebuke the devil. God's, when you put your foot down, to conquer this thing, God will give you the grace to put your foot down and He'll do the conquering. He'll do the overcoming. But we gotta be firm. We gotta be firm, folks. We gotta let the devil know just where we stand with things. Be honest with the devil. Let him know just where we stand. The Word of God was of primary importance to Joshua. You see, God set up the boundaries for Joshua, didn't He? God sets up the boundaries for His people. Right here they are. They're in the old past, folks. They're not in the new modern way of thinking and the modern way of looking things. But God set up the boundaries under the old past. Look for the old way and stay in that way, folks. God set up the boundaries for Joshua and He sets up the boundaries for His church today. For His people today. It isn't for you and I to come along and say, well, you know, maybe I could just do this or I could do... God set the boundaries. And once I have believed what the Scriptures have taught me and I have a conviction on that, you better be very careful about overriding convictions. Very careful. Would Paul say, if I build again the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor? He called for Joshua to stand up and be a man. He called for him to have courage in the face of the enemy. Do you all know what it's like to be in a trial and it seems like there's darkness all around? Y'all know what that's like? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy when there's darkness all around. When the enemy comes in like a flood. But praise God, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. He called him to have good courage. To be courageous. To have great faith. Centered. Where's it all centered at? In the Word of God. It's all centered in the Word of God, Joshua. Here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's what I'm going to do for the children of Israel. But it's all centered in my Word. It's all centered in my promises. Even Paul said, quit ye like men. Behave like men. Be strong. In our battles and in our trials. That we not ever bring a reproach on the cause of God through our testimonies. Through what we're claiming when we're on the mountaintop. I think we can claim that when we're in the valley. We may be a little more quiet. We may be a little more sober. But I still believe that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that we can still have victory in our souls. Even in those times. He went on to say, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and then thou shalt have good success. We all want to have good success, don't we? Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What else can God say? What else can I say? I've given you all these promises. I've given you all this assurance that I'm going to stand with you. All you've got to do is stay with the Word. Just stay with the Word. That's all you got to do. You know, people just, they know what they need to do because they've heard the Word. And folks, if you've heard the Word, it brings a responsibility. So just do what you know you're supposed to do because you're responsible for it and responsible to it. Then Joshua began to command the people. When Joshua was talking to the people, it says in verse 16, they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." God did his work properly. He established Joshua as a leader before the people, and they accepted him. There wasn't no grumbling. There wasn't no mumbling. And saying, maybe so-and-so might be a better leader. Maybe this might... No, God prepared the way before the children of Israel. He prepared Joshua for them. And they said, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." You know, it's a little different in our day. People don't really follow that well today. They don't follow that well today. But nevertheless, folks, when God confirms something, we need to accept His confirmation. Once we are assured that it is from God, we need to accept His confirmation. So you know the story then that God sent, or Joshua sent spies to look out the land of Canaan. You know the stories of Jericho and Ai and the defeat of the Amorites, the over in the 10th chapter of Joshua when the sun stood still, that they could have daylight to defeat their enemies. God made the sun stand still, didn't He? Scripture says that, that they could defeat their enemies. Sometimes when we take matters into our own hands, "Lord, You're not doing this fast enough," whether it's my healing, whether it's my job, whatever it is that I'm dealing with, "Lord, it's just not working the way that I think it ought to work," and take it matters in my own hands, folks, I'm taking away the very blessings that God has for me. The very blessings. Because you are limiting God when you do that. These people, no one had ever seen the sun stop and daylight extended before, but God did it. You find that in Joshua 10 and 12. The sun stood still, the Bible says. What did God tell him? "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land I give unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." God says, "I'm going to be with you. You take courage. You take courage." You know why I think it was important that Joshua was always had one ear in tune to God, listening to God, listening for His directions from God. Lord, help us to be in tune with God, to be able to hear the still, small voice. Now, they're over there in the land of Canaan. Some people I've dealt with in the past, I don't know so many feel that way today, but I've dealt with folks in the past that thought when they get sanctified, everything's going to be a piece of cake. That's when your real battles start, isn't it? Because now you've got some power and you're living from faith to faith. And what Paul say over there, I'm going to put this in here. Faith worketh by what? It worketh by love, doesn't it? We've got to love the Lord now with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've been through that here recently. So you're going from faith to faith, and now you're in the land of Canaan where the big battles are, where the walled cities are, where the giants are. Now you're going to face some things. Oh, Lord, just throw up my hands and give up. It's too much for me. No. You've got some power now. You've got the Holy Spirit over there in this land. And God said, every place you put the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto. It's easy for the Lord to give it to you, folks. If you've got faith, if you believe, if you have courage, and if you put your foot down. Just put your foot down. Had to do that with my children when they were growing up. Sometimes they didn't know when to take no for an answer, and sometimes you just have, well, we say, put our foot down. That's the answer. That's the way it is. That's what we need to do with the devil, isn't it? Put your foot down. That's just the way it is. Let's look at Joshua. Time getting away here. The 18th chapter. Lord, help us to say what he once said here. 18:1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel, now they'd been through their battles, and they'd been through some places, and they'd been over in Jordan for a while. The whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. They had conquered their enemies. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? You know, I don't know about those fellows, but that would have brought condemnation on me. That would have brought a little condemnation. They've been there now. How long, they say? 7 years? They've been there a while. And he said, how long are you slack? How long are you going to wait to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? God has so many things that he wants to give his people. So many things that he wants to give us. But folks, if we are lazy, and we are shallow, and we are not willing to go and fight for what God has for us, we're not going to get it. How long are you slack? How long are you going to wait to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? We cannot afford, as they did, to sit back and rest on our leaves and give the devil room to steal what we've already conquered and what God wants us to go forward and conquer. How long are you slack? How long are you going to do this, fellas? Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. He had to tell them to get up off your knees. Quit being late. Don't be satisfied. You know what? No matter where you are today, you should not be satisfied. We should always want more of God. We should always desire more of God. And if I don't know how to attain that, I need to get before the Lord, which I do many times, and say, Lord, teach me how to get more of you. Teach me the steps that I need to take. Give me the understanding, the wisdom that I need to be able to get more of you, that I can conquer self, that I can conquer the enemy that opposes me. I can't afford to rest and sit on my leaves, folks. This is a moving work that the Lord does in our hearts. It moves. It doesn't get stand still and get stagnant. You don't want any stagnant water. You want living water from that well. Don't give the devil room to steal what you've already conquered. Just get sad. Well, I've gone far enough. This is good enough. It's what I've said in the past. Some folks just want $2 or $3 worth of the Lord, just enough to feel good. I know people that say that they come to church and say they just love to hear the saints sing. They're not really interested in getting what the saints have that causes that melody to go forth the way that it does. Yes. Folks, there's a reason why God blesses his people. But he wants you and I to go forth. He doesn't want you and I to sit back on our knees and let the enemy conquer or destroy the things that we've already conquered in our lives, but that we will go forward. And he told, and he sent them forth. And it says in verse 8, the men arose and went away. And Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And they went and passed through the land and described it by cities into 7 parts in a book, and came again to Joshua. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land into the children of Israel according to their divisions. Folks, we don't want the Lord to come along and speak to us sometime and say, how long are you going to stay in this place? How long are you going to stay in? How long are you going to be satisfied with this? I got so much more to give you. I have so many more blessings that I want you to get a hold of. But you know what? It's going to take some battles to get them, isn't it? It's going to take some battles to get the blessings. Those fellows were satisfied where they were, didn't want to go over there, didn't want to do any more of that. Lord, help us not to be lazy people, but to go forth and conquer. Go forth and overcome. It, to me, that is such a selfish way to live. Because we're not in this just for ourselves. I'm not. We're in this, the Lord's put us in His kingdom. We are to work in His kingdom. We should look at this is God's work. This is God's kingdom. He's just using you and I to be one little part of it. But Lord, help us to do what we can to glorify God and lift Him up, and that this kingdom would prosper right here on this earth. That we'd have power, that we'd have the glory of God with us, that we'd be able to overcome, that we can conquer those things that we battle, those trials that we go through, that we can conquer the enemy of our souls. Well, look at one more scripture. I got up here a little late, so forgive me. 24th chapter of Joshua. There's so much could be said, but we're trying to close this thing down. In the 24th chapter of Joshua, I call this his farewell address. After he had led them through Canaan, God had used him to do what he wanted him to do. He said in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Good counsel, isn't it? Lord, help us to serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Lord, help us today. Keep our focus and concentration on God. Yeah. On the one true God. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Back there in Joshua's day, he could speak for his entire house. We can't do that today. We wish that we could speak for our children, don't we? We wish we could speak for our loved ones. But Joshua said, you choose. You choose this day who you're going to serve. The gods on the other side of the flood, or the gods in the land of the Amorites where you now live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. He brought us through it all. Our God brought us through so many things, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. He said, ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, and the Lord your God, our God, we will serve, and His voice we will obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. I won't read any more of that, but Lord help me here. Folks, if there's any situation, this is a little counsel that I feel like the Lord has charged me with. If there's any situation in our life, any, that hinders us from being successful in living for the Lord, if there's anything that hinders us from being in the house of God, the house of worship, when worship is going on, we need to do something to correct that. I realize that everybody has different circumstances, different things they deal with in life. And I hope you'll take this the right way. Because I mean it. Paul said, speak the truth in love, and this is in love. And I know this congregation especially have people that live a distance from here. I know that. And I'm not throwing stones this morning, but I'm going to say, because I feel the Lord would have us to say, if I get up on Sunday morning, and I want to go to service, and I look at the miles that I have to drive to get there, and that keeps me from service, I need to do something about it. Because my soul stands in jeopardy every hour. I hope that's all right. We need to put ourselves in a situation where we can serve the God, where we can serve Him fully and completely, and put everything we have into it. The Lord told Joshua, you put your heart into this thing. You wholly follow me. You be of good courage, and you take the word of God and you meditate on it and you read it and you let it assimilate into your heart and into your life, and I will bless you. I will bless you. And I believe He'll do that for us too. I know He will. He will bless us too. Lord, help us not to be willing, all of us, to let anything keep us from serving the Lord. The Lord, He is our God. He is our God. And I must put everything that I have within it. I cannot afford to hold back anything from God. but I've got to put everything I have in it that I might be successful on my walk with the Lord. Because someday, every one of us will draw our last breath. And after that, what we've done for Christ is the only thing that's going to be important. What we've done for our souls is the only thing that's going to be of value from that point through eternity. From that point through eternity. May the Lord help us today. I appreciate Joshua. There's so many in the Bible that you can use for an example that have been good examples, but Joshua was a good one. He was faithful. And I want to be faithful too. Pray for me that I will be.